Let us read a psalm before we pray. We stand up while we read the word. We read from Psalm 107, right from the beginning. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth, and raises the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causes them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we also thank you from the bottom of our hearts on this evening, when we have come together again, from near and from far. You have brought us together, O God, and we too can say, we were in disgrace, in sin, we were lost, yes, walking on sinking sand. But Lord, you have also taken hold of us, called us by name, drawn us to your bosom, and more, marked us in the palms of your hands, and drawn us to you. Lord, we give thanks and praise your holy name. Here together tonight, we give you the glory. Lord, you had mercy on us. So often, you have shown your mercy on us. You have healed the sick. O Lord, how often have you blessed? When we didn't deserve it, you blessed us anyway. Lord, we worship you in our midst and ask you from the bottom of our hearts. May you be merciful even this evening and speak to us, O Lord, by your precious and holy word, giving us right instruction. You alone know what we need, O Lord. Therefore we come to you with a bowed heart and with a bowed spirit. And we ask you from the depths, bless all who have come. Lord, whether young or old, we need your blessing. We come to you, the fountain of life, as we have sung. For with you is water of life, the fullness thereof. O Lord, we thank you for it. And worship you, Lord. May you show yourself mighty, Lord, on all who have come, Lord, and also on all who could not come, Lord. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We are here tonight to have a whole new encounter with God. Not only that we remember past experiences, what God has done, we love to do that, but today we want and we can have a new encounter with God. There are all kinds of things in the kingdom of God. But let me say today, all systems will have their end. All dictatorships, all kingdoms, everything will come to an end, and the Lord will be king forever and ever, and his kingdom is everlasting, and we will be allowed to be with him in his kingdom. When there will be no more hatred, no more jealousy, no more anything, the love of God will still triumph, and the grace of God will be sung about. How often have we heard it? All things that had a beginning will also have an end. That which never began will never end. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, prophecy, knowledge, everything will have an end, but love never ends. Everything that has began will end. What never began will never be able to end. And we know God is love, and all that has been manifested in attributes, they will remain for all eternity. Therefore, let us not look so much at what is passing, but keep our eyes fixed on the eternal and the everlasting. And a hymn writer sings, then the things of the world become very small, and they disappear in view of the great glory that awaits us. Beloved, we have arrived at a time when we want to experience the manifestation of the power of God. We have had enough witnesses in the Old and New Testament, and especially in our generation. And through this, God has let us know that he has not changed. Circumstances, conditions, in fact, everything in this world is changeable. When we looked in the mirror 20 years ago, we looked different from how we look today. And if time were to last another 20 years, we might get a fright and think by ourselves, oh, I wouldn't have imagined that. But when we think of the transformation of our body, then we say, mirror, you are not telling me the whole truth. You are only telling me half the truth. You only show me my earthly body, which is given over to death. You don't show me the bloom of my youth, my resurrection body, which I will have when the Lord returns. And then we look into the mirror of the Word of God. And then things will look very different. Then even we who have grown old will be glad again, because we will be young. Is it not glorious to be the property of God? Is it not a privilege to be pardoned, to have eternal life, to have received forgiveness of all iniquity and sin from God by grace? If there are people on earth who are actually allowed to rejoice, it is most certainly the redeemed. But how did one of our well-known people put it? It would be easier for me to believe if the redeemed looked redeemed. And so one should not be angry with such people. On the other hand, no one needs to wait to see if the redeemed look redeemed or not. We are redeemed as surely as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary. He has forgiven us iniquity and sin and given us eternal life by grace. Sometimes, and not only the redeemed, but also our Redeemer, did not look happy. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 that he was shunned, a man of sorrows. People hid their faces from him, kept their distance. Shall it be different with us? Did he find recognition on earth? No, he had no place to lay down his head. And Brother Branham once elaborated it so wonderfully. He, as the owner of the whole world, had nothing on earth, nothing at all. He had to borrow an ass and a colt to ride into Jerusalem, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, O daughter of Zion. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Jerusalem. He is humble and rides on the colt of an ass. What did he have on earth? The tomb in which he was laid belonged to a Joseph of Arimathea. What did he own on earth? Did he have a house and a farm? Did he have anything to call his own? Do you know what he called his own? You and me, all the sons and all the daughters of God, he called his own. And he came to this earth to redeem us, not to have earthly possessions, but to redeem the precious souls that would be on earth. And when the hymn writer sings, I am redeemed, I may well boast, redeemed by the Savior's blood, then we know what he was singing about, and what we too can sing along with all our hearts. Beloved, it is simply a matter of our being cut off from unbelief and fully taking up our state of faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this state of faith is not dependent on the rain or the sun. It is not weather dependent, but is a divine part of our lives. For we do not believe in anything changeable, but in the unchangeable, eternal God, who has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. You know very well that all the governments of this world, they have to plan again and again, and they make laws non-stop, and they always have to correct themselves and adapt things to the time and the development. Our God has done it quite differently. He has overlooked everything from eternity. He never needs to call a special session. He never needs to ask anyone, listen, what's the next step here? He can tell us all how things are going to go on, even tonight. When we are in trouble and don't know what to do, then we know the one who knows, the one who has power over death and hell, who rose from the dead on the third day, who ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven, and who waits until all enemies, not just a few, until all enemies are made his footstool. And the apostle elaborates and writes, we do not yet see that all things are subordinate to him, but when the time will have come, then also the last enemy, namely death, will be overcome. And then the word will come true. Death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Beloved, what we need is biblical faith. Biblical faith, as I said before, is not dependent on circumstances, but is worked in our hearts by the Spirit and by the Word. And this biblical faith carries us through all floods, because God holds us fast. We have been anchored once and for all by the grace of our God. The psalm we have been reading along has had much to say to us. God can turn masses of water into dry ground, and he can turn dry land into fertile soil that yields rich crops. God can do anything. It will be up to you and me what God will do in your life and in mine. Whether we dry up, whether we remain arid, or whether we allow him to transform, to give showers of blessing by grace, and to plant his seed so that fruit may come forth by grace. You know, when you read these psalms from the heart, it's not just a reading, it's a whole sermon. And here, this one verse in particular catches my eye. It says here, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. They were despondent. Their hearts were downcast. The waves of the sea had risen, and they themselves thought they were gone. And then suddenly it says, then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. But first the storm, first the waves, the testing, the proving of our faith, and then entering the longed-for haven. Suddenly, everything became quiet. The waves had subsided. The storm was silent, and they became glad. When the waves passed over their heads, they were in trouble and distress, and cried out to their Lord and to their God, and he heard them. Many cried out, but the question is whether God could hear them. And I mean, the hour has come for us to ask ourselves if God has heard us. And I mean, if we cry out from the heart, God will answer. Sometimes people say they have struggled and wrestled and have not prevailed. and have not experienced the Lord. And then I think of Jacob. He wrestled with God. Beloved, sometimes we wrestle with our circumstances. We struggle with ourselves. And it's not a conversation with God at all. It is an inner quarreling with God and with ourselves and with all circumstances. Jacob wrestled with God. He had embraced the angel of the Lord and he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he wrestled through the night. And there the sun rose for him. Beloved, God must help all of us and me not to wrestle and quarrel in this way, not to dwell on circumstances and conditions, but to speak to God with a word of faith in our hearts and say, nevertheless, I always remain with you, for you hold me by your right hand, so that I do not waver. After all, our God is able to do all that he has already done. And we have mentioned it. It is written not only in Moses, and not only in the book of Acts, but throughout the Old and New Testament, that the living God revealed himself on this earth among those who trusted and believed in him. And if we are among those in this age who believe and trust him, then he will reveal himself to us as he revealed himself to them, right or not? I don't know God and God's word any other way. We are not just here to admire the things that God has done in the past and perhaps raise up monuments, but we are to be raised up in faith in and by what God has done to give him the opportunity to reveal himself anew and more mightily and powerfully. I mean that we know God's purposes so far and have understood the plan of salvation so far, that at the end of days he will not only shake the heavens, but he will shake the heavens and the earth, as it is written in Hebrews. And he needs a people on earth whom he can bless, people through whom he can work and make himself known, whether in the Old or New Testament. Everywhere there were people in whom God could do great things, who believed and trusted him. People who were bearers of the divine words of promise. And we have spoken in the last months and weeks about what the Lord Jesus said in John 10, when people said to him, you who are but a man, you make yourself God. They could have said, we know your brothers and your sisters, they stay with us. The neighbors could have said, we have seen you eat and drink, we have seen you come and go, we know you. What do you make of yourself? And he answered them, is it not written, or have I not said, ye are gods? And when those to whom the word of God came and this becomes greater and greater to me, the prophets, the men of God, to whom the word came. They were called gods. Read John 10, read Psalm 82, and read a number of scriptures. And God said unto Moses, Be thou God unto Aaron, and let him be thy prophet. And what I say unto thee, say unto him, and go to Pharaoh, and perform all these signs and wonders. What was it? These men were not dead idols to be marveled at or admired. It was the divine component of the word that had come into them, and the word had gone out from God and found a place and a dwelling in their hearts, and they were divine bearers of the divine word on this earth, bearing the precious seed. And we hear the same precious word and are restored to the divine stand as sons and daughters of God. Beloved, redemption is not an easy thing. God did not make it easy to redeem the lost. And yet, we can heartily believe and grasp that we live in a prophetic age. These biblical truths could not be made known in past centuries because the time had not come. But when the time was fulfilled, he sent his word. That's how we heard it, and healed them. At that time, he sent his son. And what was the son? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. All that the prophets had received of divine revelation of the word through the Spirit has become a reality through the same Spirit in Christ. And since Christ died, the promises of God have come upon the church through Christ, and they are yes and amen. We can experience God here tonight if we can believe and grasp it. Beloved, on the outside, you could have said, Huh, Isaiah, we've known you so long. Noah, what's the matter with you? For so many years you were sensible, and suddenly you have some idea. Now we don't understand you anymore. No one can understand what you are doing. Beloved, God had prophets and men who walked this earth, of whom the world was not worthy. They were despised. They were stoned and killed. But the word of God that went out to them has been preserved through all the storms of the times throughout the millennia. Thanks be to God for that. If the devil was after one thing, it was to cover up the traces of the divine work so that the children of men would not have the opportunity to know what God had done with all his subtleties, even during the time of the Third Reich, when it looked as if the cause of God had come to an end, as if the word heil had to be put in a context where it did not belong at all, and calamity had come. But thanks be to the Lord that we are allowed to live in this wonderful time, in a time of restitution of all things, in a time of prophetic fulfillment of all that God has spoken through the mouth of His servants from the beginning. What do you think inspired Peter when he wrote the following words in Acts chapter 3? Acts chapter 3, the well-known word from verse 20. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Since the world began, from the very beginning, when God began to speak, He took prophets to whom His word came, and divine life came into them through the divine word. They carried in their earthly bodies a divine treasure, and they knew that they would partake in the resurrection. Here, this is one of the most important words that must be fulfilled before the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Savior, must remain in heaven until the times of restitution of all things, which God, not what a man, not what a council, not a movement, but which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Not what unskilled workers say here and there, claiming to be prophets, but what God spoke through the prophets confirmed in the Bible. God will never lead us out of the Bible. God will always lead us into the Bible, for it is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, and contains the whole counsel of our Savior. But who is led into it? Most are led past it with the greatest, most beautiful, most religious programs, and therefore you must understand us. Why we are so thankful to God that we have been brought back in this time to the word of the apostles and prophets. Did the apostles have a word other than the prophetic word? If so, why did Peter write, "Ye do well that ye take heed unto the word of prophecy that shines as a bright light in a dark place"? God has seen to it that through the prophets the whole plan of salvation has been proclaimed in advance. And when Jesus was on earth, He testified to His disciples on the way to Emmaus. Ought not everything have to be fulfilled, what is written in the law of Moses, and in the Psalms, and in all the prophets? What did He read from? He read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. You can read it in Luke 4. And then he says, today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Beloved, when God does something on earth, it is not a new program. Then it is the continuation of His plan of salvation within His kingdom. And we see this clearly. Since the days of the Reformation, God has been restoring more and more of biblical truths. But many have stopped along the way. Some were satisfied with this, and others with that, and the next again. But there is a chosen flock that will not stand still spiritually, but will go forward until the full manifestation of the sons of God. And we shall then understand what the word of prophecy has accomplished in us who believe with all our hearts. Beloved, all things that happen in the kingdom of God must be able to be biblically proven. And what cannot be proven biblically is not biblical. And that is the end of it. We cannot move the boundaries as they are set. There is only one foundation, and on this foundation we must continue to build. And Paul says, I, as a wise master builder, have laid the foundation, and everyone see how he builds on it. And if we ask ourselves the question today, then we have to say that everyone builds in his own way. Every church, every denomination, every fellowship, all build in their own way. And purely outwardly, they all seem to take the Bible as a basis. But where is the revelation of the Spirit? Where is the biblical teaching? Where are all the things that God promised? There is only one answer to this. Among His people, God fulfills His word and keeps His promises. Beloved, there were many peoples, and not only the people of Israel. And on the surface, they have had their hardships from the beginning to the end, and to this day. And I ask you, who is going to deny that they are the chosen people? Somebody said, listen, don't they trick other people? I said, that has nothing to do with it at all. That's just envy, because the others don't succeed like that. There were many nations, but God had chosen one. He had called Abraham and made a covenant with him and given him a promise and told him, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. In thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Who can deny it? In our generation, a few days ago, the head of the government in this little country speaks and smiles, and then he becomes serious and says, I bow to only one, and that is the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but not to a U.S. president. Who would have dared to say that? Of all the other great powers, none, none. By that little man there, who is like a David after all, who is aware of his cause, and who knows that they have not just come back out of arbitrariness, but that God has meaning and purpose in it. Even if today the veil is still over their eyes, it doesn't matter at all. They are there. What good are all the others, over whom there is no veil, with whom God has no purpose? What use are they to God, and what use are they to us? The veil will remain over them until the full number from the heathen countries will have entered the church. And then their hour has come. And then they will weep and wail and realize that Christ, the Messiah, is their Emmanuel. And it's written in the prophecy. Look it up in your Bible, in the prophet Zechariah. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. He who spoke to the prophets, and who spoke through them, and then became the Word made flesh, he said, they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and all the nations of the earth shall mourn. Beloved, when we read God's Word from the prophetic view, only then do we have the right divine view. As I said to somebody recently, after I was speaking in a church in Africa, and once again they recited the creed, and it is called the Apostles' Creed. And then, when all these leaders were called together, I asked the question, answer me, whether any of the apostles, whether Polycarp, whether Irenaeus, whether any of these men knew anything that was formulated 325 at Nicaea and completed in 381. I said, listen, if the apostles don't know about such a formulated creed, then it is not an apostolic creed. Is it true or not? If today our chancellor makes any treaty, would it be the Treaty of Bismarck? Never. It may have been done in the name of the same people, but it is not the same. Beloved, we are here to tell the people the truth, and only the truth can set free. And the truth must be told to me, must be told to you, must be told to all. We sang in a song, or read along here, they were bound in bands, and then they became free, and praised the name of the Lord. Beloved, there are many kinds of bonds. They may be of mental, spiritual, and physical nature. But God wants to free us after spirit, soul, and body from everything that is not of Him, and wants to place us fully under His rule. Then we come one step closer to Him and can, in faith, see the promises of God as having already come to pass. Just like the prophets of the Old Testament, do you think even one of them doubted? They knew who spoke to them, and they believed, and that is why they spoke, that is why they prophesied. And Paul makes the same statement. He says, I believe, and therefore I speak. When Zechariah could not believe, God gave him a dumb tongue that he could not speak until the promise was fulfilled. People who believe God from the heart may wait a long time. They will see the fulfillment of the divine promises. At that time the angel said to Mary, Blessed art thou who believed, be it unto you as you believed. And she said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Who are we in this time? Sons and daughters of God, not enslaved under the statutes and teachings of men. Thanks be to God that He has broken down the doors of Babylon, has opened the iron bars, and has called out His own. And we have come out according to the word of the Lord. Ye, my people, come out and be ye separate. Today, there are basically many movements, but all the many movements, they all merge. You know where. Although there are so many movements, somehow they all merge into the same place. And nobody needs to puzzle over that. The man is still sitting today where he has been sitting for many years. And I sometimes wish that all those who still keep the Reformation feast would read some of the Reformers' prefaces, especially the one on the prophet Daniel. How did this man of God, Martin Luther, describe the Antichrist, who is enthroned on this seven hill city with plain language? Do you think he connected politics with the matter in that case? This he did elsewhere, when it came to moves that gave him an earthly advantage. But when it came to the proclamation of the Word of God, he separated politics from proclamation and put the biblical truths as far as they were revealed to him upon the lampstand. And everyone else saw the light there and carried it on. Today, the greatest and most recognized evangelist in the whole world writes in his book, The World on Fire, that this great man will come, but nobody knows who he is and where he will appear and so on. That was the end of my reading. I thought, you are on a plane. It's been given to you. Why don't you read what this great man said about the world on fire? And when I read that, I didn't need any more fire or flames. I knew enough. And the thought came to me, O America, O America, God has sent you the greatest prophet, the greatest man of God, since the days of the apostles, and you have not listened. The truth you have trampled underfoot, and you are condemned to believe the lie. Beloved, when God sends a prophet, it is not for us to stone him, persecute him, or reject him. But as he himself said, if I send a prophet, and you receive him, you shall receive the reward of a prophet. It is easy to receive a Hollywood evangelist who can come with a great God, a 1,000-person choir, and all sorts of things. And then there's also the red carpet. But what about a prophet who is poorly dressed, without any trumpet announcement, without anything, suddenly appearing like a John in the wilderness? First, people look and think, what does this mean? And then God makes a separation among the people, and all who are of God, listen to the voice of God. There is no man on earth who can tell me he is born of God and does not hear God's word. There is no such thing. If we are born of God, then the new divine life connects us with God, and His word is spirit and is life, and we long for the word of God and push the fables to the right and to the left if we don't throw them down. But people's eyes have to be opened so that they can see it. In the same way, you could ask the question, do you think everyone else is wrong? And one individual who no one really knew, do you think he was right? Beloved, that is a foolish question, and one cannot answer it quite so foolishly. It is not a question of whether many are right, nor is it a question of whether one is right. It is about God's word being fulfilled before our eyes, and a man being sent by God with a divine message to call out the people of God and show us the way. Is it about us doing a dance around a golden calf? Let this be far away. But let it be also far away that we leave the prophetic message for this time to the left or to the right. That is not possible. We are in a prophetic age, and God had to send a prophetic ministry to turn the heart of God's children back to the original word. And one day it will be revealed that we were not the fools. Today many consider us fools, and earthly speaking, I could have had a much easier path than the one I have to walk. And one day we will all find that it goes through the lowest depths before it can go up to the highest heights. The way to glory is through the cross of Golgotha. And the cross or crucifixion was accompanied by much mockery and scoff. But thanks be to the Lord, it did not end there. Just a phase. The body was put into the tomb. In the spirit, our Lord went down. And then on the third day was the glorious resurrection. Beloved, the divine life can never be killed. And that is why Jesus Christ, our Lord, said at the tomb of Lazarus, I say to you, he who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe that? Not only that we believe in the resurrection, we know that we have received eternal life. It is only a crossing from time into eternity. Don't expect us to have formal services here. I was going to read from Brother Branham's sermon today. I left it. Brother Rus brought me a sermon, and here it has been for some time. And yet, I must say what has been said, and know that God has spoken to us. And I am aware that He sends His word to help us, to heal us, to set us right, to teach us. Not one will teach another. They will all be taught by God. And this is the glorious time in which we live. May the Lord, our God, so mightily rule over us with His grace, that the promises of the Word might come to fulfillment in the Bride Church, just as they have found their fulfillment in the Bridegroom. All the promises made upon Jesus Christ, our Savior and Bridegroom, have been fulfilled in Him, even to the point, ascended to heaven, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Thus it is written in a psalm, from His birth in Bethlehem up to His ascension, everything had been proclaimed by the prophets of the Old Testament. Now it is our turn to see the fulfillment of all that God promised to His own, for the consummation and for the end. And we hold fast to this, knowing that as surely as God's word was fulfilled in the Bridegroom, it will be fulfilled in His Bride. She is Word from His Word, Spirit from His Spirit. And as Paul says in Ephesians 5, I pointed to Christ and the Church, flesh from His flesh and bone from His bone. He is the head and we are the members. He is the Lord and we are the Church through which He wants to be revealed. Beloved, what more shall God do than what He has done? To make promises, and then, in the time of their fulfillment, to send a man of God to bring these hidden mysteries to light, so that all who are of God may hear and see and be inwardly apprehended and taken hold of. Do not think, and this is not a criticism, this is only an observation, do not think that those who bypass and do not accept the promises of the Word of God given for this time, that God will then fulfill His Word in them. No, only on those who have heard and believed it. On whom did God fulfill His word in Abraham's day? On any Abimelech or anyone else? On Abraham, to whom He spoke, who believed Him, to whom He made the promise. In whom did God fulfill the word in the days of Isaac? In whom in the days of Jacob? In whom did God fulfill His word throughout the ages? On His people who believed Him. And it is the same in this time. Let me conclude by saying that God's people do not have a general faith that everyone has. And if you read the letter of James very clearly, it says that the devil also believes and trembles. So the word faith does not say everything. When people are asked, are you a believer? They say yes. But they don't say how. How they don't say. But they say yes. And not their heads. Because they are convinced that they believe. Beloved, what did our Lord say on the last day at the feast of Pentecost? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, amen. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, on the seventh day, the last day, we are in the last days, In the seventh church age, our Lord calls out to us today, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, from his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not whoever believes as he wants to believe and what he wants to believe, but whoever believes as the scripture says. Beloved, there should be no one here today whose heart does not beat a little faster in gratitude for what God has done for us. Who are we? Who are we? Worse than anyone else. Useless. I almost have the impression that people didn't need us. And God has taken that which was nothing before the world to nullify that which is something. And anyone who thinks he is something is as good as nothing. And anyone who thinks he is nothing is even less than nothing. And Paul says, what I am by grace. In all things, let the name of the Lord our God be praised. And that is what we want to do tonight. And we don't wait one for the other. Today, let's pray biblically. And let us all open our hearts and our mouths and move our lips. No one needs to shout. God is near. That's how it is written. He is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. We don't need to shout like the Baal priests. We can talk to God. We want to speak to God tonight. Everyone to whom God has spoken through His Word should speak to Him in prayer and at least give thanks and say, Lord, thank you that you have given me faith in your revealed Word, in your promises for this time, that I have not just a general faith, but faith as the Scripture says. We owe the Lord much thanks today. Let us rise to this and give Him the glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for your speaking tonight through your precious and holy word. We see these facts, Lord. You have revealed yourself in a special way in our day and revealed that which was hidden, Lord. O Lord, but now you have made it happen, and for that we are thankful. You have made promises, and you have fulfilled them, Lord. To your name be the honor, be the praise and the glory, O Lord. We can only thank you, Lord, for this grace and for this faithfulness. Lord, in lowliness and in humility, we stand before you, Lord, as unworthy, Lord, before men, but Lord, in your eyes, we are your people, we are your chosen ones. Praise be to your wonderful name. We give you the glory and the praise and the thanks. Hallelujah. Lord, we can't help but lift up your name, and we ask you, Lord, may you touch everyone right now, in this hour, in this moment, Lord. We are all coming just as we are right now. And we ask you, Lord, be merciful to all of us. Hallelujah. Receive the worship, receive the praise and the glory and the thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.